Take your Bibles. We're back in Romans. Looks like we'll be back there a lot. Somebody said the other day they wondered if we'd ever get through the first verse. Well, I wonder too. We're in a part of the first verse of the first chapter of the book of Romans that I really wish I knew every answer to, but honestly, I don't. But I'll share with you some of the things I do believe that I know. And we're just going to have to see if we get any further elucidation and how things move in our hearts and lives in years to come. We have handled in detail the word doulos, and Walter Cummins did such a fantastic piece of work on the preposition of. And then I think in the last session, I handled the words Jesus Christ and the word Lord, simply because the word Lord comes up later in the chapter here, early part of this chapter, verse 3, as a matter of fact. And we're still in the first verse because Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Literally, you could translate it, a called apostle. Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, a called apostle. I like it, just called. I think to me, in my mind, it really communicates. Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The word called is the word that I have an opportunity with. And I want to set this before you because there are just segments or facets in here I cannot fully explain. I'm going to try to share it with you to the best of my ability, but I wish I knew how to teach it more detailed, more accurately, with the ability to just wrap it all up. But there is a difference in being called. I can't document this from the concordance, because a concordance is just man-made also, like a lot of other things. And I can't document this from a concordance, but there's a difference in my heart and life and my understanding of the word between a person who is called as a believer, called out of darkness into the light of the gospel of redemption and salvation, to be called from being an unbeliever to a believer, or to be called as an apostle. There seems to me there has to be a difference, and yet I do not see any in the Greek words that are used in the text. You see, when we are called as believers, the Bible says we're ambassadors. One of the great ones, we're called sons of God from 1 John. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That, to me, has to be considered in the light of this verse in Romans, where he was a doulos of Jesus Christ before he was called an apostle. Perhaps in God's foreknowledge, I could put this all together, because God in his foreknowledge knew that when he called Paul to be born again, he also at that moment knew he would believe and would get the ministry of an apostle. Perhaps that's the best I can teach you along this line. That's perhaps the most I know about it from the word. This word here in Romans 1:1, the word called, is the word, Greek word, kletos, K-L-E-T-O-S, or kletos. Pronounce it whichever way you like, I'll spell it for you. K-L-E-T-O-S. It is used in verse 1, called an apostle. It's used in verse 6, speaking to the people in Rome, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To me, it says in verse 1, a doulos of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. See the change in verse 6? Ye also the called of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Isn't that tremendous in these three verses, 1, 6, and 7? The usage of the same Greek word, And yet in the context, you can see there has to be some slight variation. Verse 6, they were the called of Jesus Christ. Paul had to be called of Jesus Christ before he could be called an apostle. Unless it's in the foreknowledge of God where he would call him of Jesus Christ and called apostle, which then later on would come into fruition, which I believe, of course, is involved. In verse 7, the beloved of God called saints. It is also used in Romans 8, the same word. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that do what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. I believe the first usage of this word is in Matthew chapter 20. And perhaps taking a look at this will give us a little understanding of it. Verse 16, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few chosen. Few chosen. I wonder if that's the same basic word. You got your Greek text. What's the word chosen, the Greek word here in verse 16? Same root word? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just the EK in front of it. Out from. Ek. Same root word. And check that. But for many be called is the word kletos, K-L-E-T-O-S, and few chosen, ek, E-K, out from among. This is its first usage. I like the word chosen for called, chosen. We were called in him before the foundations of the world. Chosen in God. Before the foundations of the world, called in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 has this usage also. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Called saints. In verse 24 of this first chapter, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Unto them which are called, kletos, called, both Jews and Greeks. The other usage that I checked that blessed me was in Jude. Verse 1. Jude the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, that are sanctified by God and preserved in Jesus Christ, called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. The root of this word called here in Romans 1, the root is the word kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, long O, according to the Greek text. And its first usage is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There are many other places this word, of course, is used, kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, which is the root. As I work this word, you know, they called his name Jesus. They designated a name for him. And I was thinking that perhaps we could distinguish in the calling, like we're designated ambassadors, we're designated sons of God. But you can be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ and still not have a ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor. And so I wonder if one phase of this word called could not be the special vocation where One phase of the word called is simply a designation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, designated his name as Jesus. And then his vocation became saving his people. Now that's just about all I know about it, except in Ephesians, that 4:11, which is so familiar to all of us, when he ascended up on high, verse 11, Ephesians 4, he gave, and here are the ministries, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I tried to work the word gave, or the word give, didn't mean, because here he gave. So to be called an apostle has to also imply a gave of 4:11. Now, how do you put together the gave of an apostle with the calling of an apostle, called apostle, with the chosen as an apostle? You will have to handle this in your life and thinking. Well, did he give some apostles or did he give some apostles? From the text, you can't touch it. I don't know which one of the two. I think it's a combination of both. In one sense, it's not relevant to this particular verse in Romans, at least not at the moment. But I think you can see that we're dealing with something that isn't as simple as just an ABC statement. It's got a great in-depth perception and awareness of God's word you have to have. On this word called Paul, doulos, yes, of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, doulos, called. I know of no man ever called with a ministry who has not been or is not a doulos. A ministry is not earned in the sense where you work for it, but I want to tell you something. If you're not a working doulos, I guarantee you, you'll never have it. It's not given because of work. It's given because of God's foreknowledge and his grace and his mercy and all of that, that I know. But before you can be called as an apostle, I am confident you have to sell out. You get to that place, you just a doulos. You're marked, got your ears punctured spiritually, branded as a doulos. So in the light of that, I think Romans, that first verse, is absolutely fantastic. Paul, doulos of Jesus Christ, doulos, committed, sold out, then the next truth, called an apostle. Called. It's not something you educate people for. It's not something you graduate from college or seminary with. It is a gift, like Ephesians says. It's a gift of God for the building up of the church, the edification of it, and so forth. That's all I know at the present time about the word called, I believe. And I'd like for you to consider it in the light again of what I've shared with you, watching the designation and the vocation involved. The next word is the word apostle. We define this word at one of our teachings or one of our classworks as one who brings new light to his generation. It may be old light, but it's new to the generation to whom he speaks. The Greek word for apostle is apostolos. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. The word apostolos comes from the word apostello, A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. The preposition apo of that word will tell you a great deal because it is from. It means from. As we just read in Ephesians, gave gifts. Gave gifts from. It is from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle, Paul says? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Very interesting, his statement regarding his being an apostle. The record in Galatians 1 is interesting. Verse 1, Paul, a what? Apostle. And then the great parentheses, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and in that I see the designation, and God the Father who raised him from the dead is where I see the calling of the vocation. Paul, an apostle. Very simple. Not of men, neither by what? So no apostles are men who graduate from a seminary or someplace or a Bible school and somebody ordains them to be an apostle. It's a bunch of baloney. Right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher. What's the Greek word for preacher? Is it kudoso or what? Would that be the root form of heralding, witnessing?
Caruso.
Teaching?
It means to herald forth and announce.
Okay. I am ordained a preacher. I understand this word preacher, but the greatness of the preaching was the teaching of the word. Like, I know this from the book of Acts when he went to the school of Tyrannus. See? Preaching did not mean take a scripture and give point one, two, and three, and then the conclusion and everybody goes home. It was a teaching ministry, even long enough that people fell out of the window asleep or something. Fell asleep and fell out of the window, I guess the better way of putting it. A teaching ministry like Paul had, having the apostleship many times go hand in hand. But it's still not of men. I am ordained an apostle. Ordained means set apart. Well, who would set him apart? God. He is set apart, ordained by what God did when he gave gifts unto men. He said, I'm ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in pistis and truth, verity. Interesting about Apostle Paul, isn't it? These three great scriptures. In Acts 22, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. You know, this is in the record of Paul, where he said in verse 19, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto him, depart, get out of here, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. This word send is the word apostello, which basically means to be sent from or for someone from somewhere. He said, I'm going to send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. In chapter 26 of Acts, verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. It means the sent one. It is in this light that Jesus Christ was an apostle. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, verse 1, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was an apostle in the same sense that Paul was an apostle, as one sent. One sent. That alone would again tell us that Jesus Christ could not be God. You can send yourself, but that wouldn't do much good. The sent one was Jesus Christ. God sent him. Paul was sent. And in this sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is called an apostle. Because anyone who is sent has the authority of the one who sent. You know, I send you, go get me a cup of coffee. That has the authority in it of the one who sent you. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 9. Verse 8 says centurion. A centurion is a man who heads up 100 soldiers, the top man of the 100. In verse 9 he said, for I am a man under authority. Well, who gave him that authority? Whoever sent him to be the head of the 100. He said, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. See, the sent one has to have the authority of the one who sent. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus said, he that heareth you, heareth what? And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him who sent me. That would be God. An apostle is a sent one. He has the authority of the one who sends, and he has the message to deliver of or for that one who sent him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to look up with you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for building you up, not for your destruction. So an apostleship implies axiomatically authority. In chapter 13, verse 10. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord hath given me to edification, not to destruction. It's an authority unto edification, not what? That becomes very important in the ministry of an apostle. You see it? It is not one who is sent to destroy. It is one who is sent to bring new light to his generation to edify. And the word edify means to build up. It includes also the word comfort, the quiet serenity, the peace. Boy, to have an apostle like Paul writing in Romans to us, you're going to see what a tremendous edification it is. What a build-up, because he will set in the first 8 chapters the whole great doctrinal truth of justification by believing. Believing what Jesus Christ did. And that once you have been justified, you are just. And the just are to live by believing. All of this authority and all of this greatness you're going to see. Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. He that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. An apostleship toward the Gentiles. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, any man with the ministry of an apostle will have grace that was given unto me. You're saved by grace. That I know. So do you. But to have the ministry of an apostle seems to be a special over and beyond type of grace. That's all I know about it. I don't know very much about it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If you've heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, or for you. Again, this Apostle Paul, he heard of the administration, a whole administration, and it's called the grace of God. Again, to an apostle. I think that speaks loudly to our hearts in Romans 1, where Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, a sent one who had the authority and the power of the one who sent him, plus great grace. And that's why he was separated. You see, when you're born again, you're separated, right? Says you're sanctified, called out, you're separated. The ministry of an apostle, separated. I think the census world, or the so-called, quote, Christian, end of quote, world, would think that if you're called as an apostle, that puts you up on the ladder higher, the spiritual ladder higher. I do not believe that. I believe that if you're a called apostle, you are to be a greater servant to the people, not up the ladder, but down on the ladder among God's people. I think it's just the opposite. If you can avoid being one, you'd be more fortunate, maybe. Less responsibility. Yet, boy, it's really fantastic to tie together the word called, the word apostle, and the word separated. Those three words are just fantastic in this verse. The first usage of this word separated in the New Testament is in Matthew 25. I didn't have access to the Septuagint, but had I would have looked up in the Septuagint its first usage in the Old Testament, but I didn't have it. Not particularly need it, but it'd been nice just to mess around with to see it. Matthew 25 is its first usage, according to the text I had available to me at the moment. And it's interesting how it's used. Verse 32, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." That's a sharp separation. You know, not many of us have any difficulty recognizing the difference between a sheep and a goat. You know, if you're out in the field, you got sheep out there and goats, you have very little difficulty separating them, right? This is the usage of this word, separate. The Greek word is aphorizo, aphorizo. Aphorizo, that's the word. In Acts chapter 13, Acts 13, in verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Pneuma, the Hagion, the Holy Spirit, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, to the work whereunto I have called them." That is, again, the same word. Paul, doulos, called, apostle, separated. Separated. Then we're going to find out what he separated unto or for later in the verse. It is a sharp cutting, this separation. A distinctively earmarked, set apart deal. "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul," in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Very interesting. Verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me," here's Paul, this apostle, "he separated me from my mother's womb and called by his grace." Both separated and called in the verse. And I think it's this verse that sort of blessed my heart in giving me an understanding that this called not only could be in designation, but also in vocation, even before the foundations of the world, because of God's foreknowledge. And here you have this verse, "It pleased God who separated me from," or at the time of when I was born, "from my mother's womb, before I was born, and called by His grace. I think that's a very significant verse. To separate then must basically mean a calling out from, like out from among the dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, one whom He calls, sanctifies them, so forth. And by His grace, called by His grace, is like an added blessing or added something where He is responsible to God for carrying out the ministry that God gives Him or makes available to Him. That's why Romans 1, Paul, doulos of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, called as an apostle, or a called apostle, separated. As Barnabas and Paul were separated, here this apostle is called and he's separated. He's got a special mission, a special job to perform. And of course, you and I, knowing some of these things from the Word, we know there was given to him the ministry that manifested the administration of the mystery. That mystery which was kept hidden secret in God from before the foundation of the world. What that mystery was all about was given to him. And that certainly was new light to a new generation.